Moving along.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. The House is ready to vote today on President Obama's stimulus package. The Democrats have taken out money for improving the National Mall and funding for family planning programs. But Republicans still aren't on board. They want even less spending and more tax cuts. The president would like their support, but he doesn't need it to pass the House today. The Senate is also working on a version of this stim pack, and we have more on that from Marketplace's Steve Henn.
If this stimulus is a giant ice cream sundae for the economy, the Senate's busy sprinkling on the toppings. The biggest goodie so far is a $69 billion proposal that will shield millions of upper-middle-class Americans from having to pay the alternative minimum tax. Fixing the AMT wasn't in the original White House plan, but President Obama seems eager to pick up more Republican support.
I don't expect 100% agreement from my Republican colleagues, but I do hope that we can all put politics aside and do the American people's business right now.
But lobbyists are playing politics as usual. They're still pitching tax breaks for installing geothermal heat pumps. There's a plan on the table to buy up and slaughter dairy cows to boost milk prices. And shoemakers want lower tariffs on canvas shoes made overseas. But all these new toppings aren't cheap. The total price tag could top $1 trillion, including interest. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
Wall Street seems fairly optimistic about the stimulus plan. So far, the Dow is up 110 points to 8285. That's about 1.5%. The NASDAQ is up almost 2%, and the S&P 500 has gained 1% this morning, 16 points. The markets in Asia finished the day with mixed results. European shares are 2 to 3% higher so far. The World Economic Forum got going today in Davos, Switzerland. We cover this thing every year because it's the most powerful gathering of government leaders and CEOs. Usually there's a lot of skiing and partying, and Bono shows up. But this year, it appears to be all business. On the line with us is Businessweek editor Diane Brady. She's in Davos. Diane, how would you characterize the mood there?
I think the general mood is a real sense of confusion. There's a sense that there's going to be unprecedented government intervention in the next year. And so there's more CEOs and chairpersons than ever in the history of Davos. There's also more world leaders here. So I think you're dealing with people whose industries have collapsed in a way that they've never seen. And they're trying to figure out what will get the world out of this, never mind their own companies.
Well, a record number of world leaders there, but one glaring omission, and that is that President Obama and his people aren't there. What's the response to that?
It was commented on last night. Some of the veterans who've come every year, Tim Geithner, Larry Summers, are always seen around here. Obviously, they're busy. Valerie Jarrett, who's one of his senior advisors, is coming on Thursday. But in a year when the Chinese premier, the German chancellor, even Vladimir Putin is here, the fact that you really don't have much of a presence from Washington is disappointing, I think, to a lot of people.
Do you think that governments really will work together to help solve this financial crisis, or will there be a lot of talk and then a lot of protectionism?
You know, overall, I think there's an understanding that there has to be a coordinated effort, and they really do have to work together to really coordinate policy so that we can make sure that the dollar remains, you know, strong enough that it has some value, but also that we can be working with China, for example, to see when are they going to get their economy back in shape, because that's so critical to the world market.
Diane Brady, senior editor at Businessweek in Davos, Switzerland. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Today, the New York Times said ad revenue is down another 16%. So the paper will try to sell something besides ads, its stake in a company called New England Sports Ventures. Yes, the Times owns a piece of the Boston Red Sox and Fenway Park. I'm sure Yankee fans will be glad to hear that's probably over. This is the Morning Report for Wednesday, January 28th on Marketplace.org. Former Vice President Al Gore testifies before Congress today. He'll be talking about the UN climate negotiations. This week, President Obama said America is ready to lead on climate issues. But if the U.S. is really involved, that could change the whole dynamic of a global climate deal. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Sam Eaton reports.
President Obama's appointment this week of a high-profile climate envoy marks a sharp break from the Bush administration. Bill Anthalis is managing director of the Brookings Institution. He says the two presidents did agree on one thing.
There is a need to cut through the lengthy wait of bureaucratic negotiations.
President Bush attempted to do just that, bypassing the cumbersome UN negotiations with a smaller summit of 20 major emitters, including China and India.
So George Bush had that right. The part that George Bush didn't have right is that they actually have to agree to do something.
The Bush administration never did support mandatory reductions in emissions. And this is where the Obama administration differs. Like Bush, Obama's new top climate negotiator, Todd Stern, prefers to forge a climate deal through a smaller group of major emitters. But unlike Bush, the goal is to create binding agreements, not voluntary ones. I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
The French are very proud of their culinary prowess. But it's possible that an American will win the top prize today at the Bocuse d'Or. It's basically the Olympics of cooking. The American team is led by a 28-year-old named Timothy Hollingsworth. He's the sous chef at the restaurant French Laundry in Napa Valley. And he's trying to become the first American to win this prize. Anita Elash has more.
And here we have the meat dish for Sweden.
Chefs from 24 countries gather in the French gastronomic capital, Lyon, to try to outcook each other. The winner will only take home $26,000, but the prestige he'll bring with him is priceless. French chef Jackie Frayon was the first to win back in 1987. He talked by cell phone from the competition hall.
When I won, I became well known by the French media, and that pushed my career along very quickly.
In a matter of months, business at Frayon's restaurant went up by 40%. But he says if Timothy Hollingsworth becomes the first American to win the prize, it would almost guarantee him status as an international superstar. In Paris, I'm Anita Elash for Marketplace.
Last week has not been a good one for employment. I count 78,600 layoffs announced by American companies. Caterpillar, Home Depot, Corning, Texas Instruments, Microsoft. There's an awful lot of people looking for work in an awful job market. Commentator Will Wilkinson says people who can be flexible have an advantage.
Recent psychological research confirms what you probably already know. Unemployment is toxic to happiness. Some studies show that the depressing effects of job loss are even worse than divorce. The blow is not so much about money as a loss of purpose and community. For many, losing a job means much more than losing a paycheck. It means demoralization and loneliness. Worse still, one recent study shows that a bout of unemployment can depress life satisfaction long after landing a new job. Unemployment can leave a painful scar. Staying busy and socially active is crucial. But nothing compares to quickly getting back to work. Of course, that's easier said than done in this economy, and the best advice for many may be the hardest to swallow. Pull up roots and move to where the jobs are. If you're near a city with lots of opportunity, it can make sense to stay put and search locally for something new. But when the one big employer in your small town shuts down, it's easy to fall into the trap of waiting for something to come around the bend, of hoping your congressman will wrangle stimulus money for your hometown's shovel-ready salvation. But the longer you wait for a job to come to you, the worse the sting of unemployment can get. Demographers say Americans are more rooted, less mobile than ever, despite conventional wisdom. But the economy will recover faster if workers are willing to seek out and seize distant opportunities. And despite the pain of relocation, many of the unemployed will recover lost happiness quicker if they recover a little of that lost spirit of American mobility. Job word ho!
Will Wilkinson is with the Cato Institute. Share your opinion at marketplace.org. We already have a lively discussion going. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.